You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Big day for the Grizzlies. I wanted to wait to do the show today because I wanted to wait before the news broke, and that is that Jonas Valanciunas will not be opting into his final year with the Grizzlies worth roughly $17.6 million. So I wanted to wait to get that reaction to you guys as well. The news just broke about an hour ago, so here we are recording this show today. Also, was in attendance yesterday for the Taylor Jenkins press conference, sat right by him, right behind his dad and his brother. Very, very nice people. So we'll get to that as well. We're going to talk about this Jonas Valanciunas contract situation, why he opted out. Also, get to the press conference from Taylor Jenkins, get all my reactions and thoughts on that as well. But before we do all that, make sure you go download the new Himalaya podcast app. It's super easy. You can get it wherever you get your apps from on any app store. Download it. Subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. It's free. It's super easy to use. Has every single podcast you love or you're searching for. You can make curated playlists or all your podcasts and have it in just one little neat place. So go get the new podcast app, Himalaya, and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. If you have a moment, also go please go rate and review the show in Apple iTunes. It really helps our rankings, really helps the show in Apple iTunes as well. Jonas Valanciunas decided that he did not want a 17.6 one-year deal from the Grizzlies. That seems strange. It does. On the surface, as we talked about on this show for weeks, we've talked about this, that we always assumed that he would be coming back, that you can go out and pay $17.6 million. He can make that for his 1 year, and he will be back, and the Grizzlies would have a center, and that would be the end of it. So we've said on this show several times that we thought he'd be back. I said as recently as Monday that it was, you know, it's getting to where you start to worry that if it goes longer, what he might do. But at the end of the day, I still thought he was going to accept. So what does this mean? There's only one of two options that this means. There's only one of two options that can mean for Jonas. He either A, has some type of framework or agreement in place with the Grizzlies to have a long-term deal here, or he doesn't want to be here. Those are really the only two options. Again, the news broke from Woj, and in that tweet that he put out, he said that Jonas Valanciunas was opting out to specifically work in a long-term deal with the Grizzlies. Now, so he's clearly has some type of assurance or some type of agreement in place with the Grizzlies or with his agent if that's what he's going to do. The problem I have with that is, why would you opt out of $17.6 million when you could have just opted into $17.6 million and signed an extension? For those of you who don't know, the Grizzly for Jonas, who would he would have to opt in, and then he could extend his current contract. Now, he could have extended it by 2 years. Those are the stipulations in his contract, and I'm not going to get into the exact stipulations on how you get there. But he could have opted in for 1 year and then extended it for two more years. So it would have been a total of a three-year deal. It could have gone no longer than that. So if he's opting out, he clearly wants more years. But at what price? That's what you have to look at. At what prices does he want more years? If you opt out of $17.6 million, let's be honest, he's not getting that kind of money on the open market. We talked about that on Monday when I broke all this down and who has the money to pay Jonas Valanciunas. I think we ended up at about five or six teams. If you haven't already listened to that episode, go listen to that. It breaks down all the people who have the money and space and need to have a center and who Jonas will be out there looking to get a deal from this summer. So that's actually super relevant now. So go listen to that. But those are we ended up on about five or six teams that would have the money and have the space. Now, if you go lower than $12 million, which is kind of what I targeted that at, if you go lower than $12 million, you have more teams open up because you have the mid-level exception open up to a ton of teams that could use that on Jonas Valanciunas. So if he goes down to that $9 million level, he could definitely have a four-year deal from a lot of different teams. And quite frankly, I would be fine with a four-year deal if Jonas wanted the mid-level exception. I think that would be perfectly reasonable. You have to have players. It's not like you're going to go out there and just roll out nobody. So you have to have players. At the same time, as I said before, Jonas Valanciunas isn't going out here and doing things you can't replace. He's not going out here every single game just lighting it up from the field. And let's be honest, the points that he had in the end of the year, so after the trade, he had a ton of points. He was scoring a lot. He was really a focus of the offense. But to be quite honest, that was with most guys hurt, especially Jaren Jackson Jr., who would have taken a lot of those shots from the inside. So you put some of the people out there that were hurt. Dylan Brooks was hurt. Jonas Valanciunas was hurt. Jaren Jackson Jr. was hurt. You put all those guys back out there who would have been the core. I mean, at the end of the year, they were operating with a lot of players that would normally be out there. Kyle Anderson for one as well. Now, Kyle's not taking a lot of shots, but he's going to take some. You put all that back out there, especially someone like Jaren, who you want the offense running through. You want your offense going. That's your big guy. You want your offense going through. You put that back out there, and what does Jonas get you? I mean, he's getting you 9-10 points a game. I mean, it's not like he's going out there and averaging the 20 points he was averaging at the end of the year. I mean, that those are stats, yes, are huge, but they are inflated, and are inflated for a reason. It's because there wasn't a whole lot of other options. Jonas Valanciunas was pretty much it at the end of the year. So there wasn't a whole lot of options as far as big men scoring for the Grizzlies. So you go out there, I mean, hell, even Joakim Noah was hurt at the end of the year too. So like, there's just not a lot there. And you go out and put everything back on the court like it was supposed to be at the start of the year when everybody's healthy, and you put the person you want the offense running through in the low post in Jaren Jackson Jr., and then Jonas Valanciunas becomes a big man who can rebound. Quite frankly, he's not a great defender, but he can defend, and that's what he becomes. He becomes an elite rebounder, plays defense, sets hard screens, and like that's it. Like, so you're telling me you can't go find another center in this league to go do that for less than even $12 million a year? So the idea that Jonas Valanciunas is opting out because he wants the long-term deals is just, it seems silly to me, because you could have both in Memphis. You could opt in and make $17.6 million and then negotiate an extension right away. You could have negotiated that extension today. You could have done it last week if you wanted to. So you could have negotiated that extension right away and had the best of both worlds. You could have gotten paid a huge sum of money this year and have that security of making a lot of money in 1 year, and also signed an extension for $9, $10, $11 million for two more years, have a three-year deal total, and still make $45 million. So I'm not really sure exactly how it benefits Jonas Valanciunas to opt out here. The only thing I can think is that the only thing that leaves the other option is just he doesn't want to be here. And quite frankly, there's not a whole lot of blame to go around for that. He doesn't want to be here because he probably wants to be somewhere where he can win. Players in this NBA, in this league, they signed to play for places for two reasons. They sign because they want to win, or they signed for money. Look at guys in the league that signed for the Lakers last year, signing just a ton of money. And you know those guys are going to be bad. And it happens every year. Guys sign deals and go to teams that you know are going to be bad. But you have to, you got to have players, and they have to overpay sometimes. So you go get the money. You go get paid. And so these players sign for money, or they sign to win here. And Jonas Valanciunas could have had the money. That was here. That was the best option for Jonas Valanciunas to make the most money in 3 years. To make the most money, that option was Memphis. That was the option. And he declined that. So the only other reason to sign somewhere is to win. And that's not happening here. That's not happening at the Memphis Grizzlies the next 2 years. They're going to be bad. Whether we like it or not, they're going to be bad. And so that option to win just doesn't exist in Memphis. So while he might have some type of deal structured with the Grizzlies that is a long-term deal, I can't imagine that they're going to get something done that I think is either reasonable or both sides that can agree on. Now, they might get something done, but it might be just unreasonable. If the Grizzlies go out and sign Jonas Valanciunas to something like $15 million a year, that's crazy. I mean, it should not happen. You offer Jonas Valanciunas $12 million a year is the max you offer him. And even then, I think it's fine, but I think it's on the top end. $12 million a year is what you offer Jonas Valanciunas. If he says no, you let him walk. If he doesn't want to do $12 million a year, You let him just you let him move on. Everybody parts ways, and you go on and find another center that you can have and that you can that it will be available next year. Again, you can go out and pay Joakim Noah $8 million a year or $6 million a year. Five or whatever it is, you can work out with Joakim Noah. He was playing for the veteran minimum. You can go pay him $5 million a year and still get the same type of production that you're going to get from Jonas Valanciunas. It's not like Jonas Valanciunas is out here lighting the world on fire. This is not that type of player. And so I think that Jonas Valanciunas gave up every bit of leverage that he had with the Grizzlies, every bit of leverage that he had with everybody, because the Grizzlies can do the same thing I did and go look at everybody's salary, everybody's cap, who needs a center, who can pay Jonas Valanciunas, and go, you know what, there's not a whole lot of people out here that can pay you. And so if you want to go get, if there's a team that overpays you, then by all means, go get overpaid. But we're not going to do it. And so hopefully the organization realizes that, and again, if they go out and pay Jonas Valanciunas $15, $16 million a year, that is the exact type of deal that the last front office would do. That's what Chris Wallace would do. Chris Wallace would give Jonas Valanciunas $19 million a year. That's what Chris Wallace would do. And hopefully Zach Kleiman, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, because obviously they've not done anything yet. And we're going to get them the benefit of the doubt from just talking to them and understanding that these guys are smart and they seem like smart people. If they're not going to, they can look around at the league and look at his play and look at the stats, look at other players and realize that this is just not something they should spend money on. This is not something that's worth it. Centers are, quite frankly, guys you can are replaceable. Like I've said before in this podcast, they are replaceable. Look at Joakim Noah. Joakim Noah was sitting on his couch this year, signed for the veterans minimum, and comes in and does a pretty bang up job for the Grizzlies. As much as I hate to say that, as much as I was not a fan of that signing, he came in, did a pretty bang up job for the Grizzlies at a veterans minimum. So why should you go out and pay Jonas Valanciunas $15 million a year? So hopefully that's not what they do. Again, for Jonas, the money was here. The money was there. It was right in front of him. All he had to do was opt in, sign an extension. He could have had the $3 million. He could have had everything he wanted. He could have had the money. He could have had the security. Everything that you would think, you know, really, you know, normally you say, I want longer years because I want security. I want to have to make sure that I have money coming in every single year. I don't want to get paid a lot. I'd rather have 4 years of a little bit of money than 1 year of a lot of money. And that's totally understandable. But that could have been done in Memphis. You could have had the best of both worlds. You could have had 1 year for a lot of money and 2 years for a decent amount of money. And you had 3 years for money, period. So I don't understand. So it leaves me with the idea that it would be surprising to me if I think he's not going to be back now. It would be surprising to me if the Grizzlies went out and re-signed him. Again, they might have some type of idea of a structure in place. And if Jonas Valanciunas wants to sign for $9 million a year or 3 years, $30 million or something like that, I mean, by all means, give him the money. That I think that, you know, it's fine. It's something that he can get at another place. It's something that he's worth. Go out and sign him to that. But it just seems odd to me that he would decline an option of 17.6 and then not want to try to sign an extension, because if the working theory from Woj is that he wants to work on a long-term deal with the Grizzlies and wants to work up some type of contract extension, he could have done that, or sign a new contract. He could have done a contract extension, which would have been basically a new contract anyway, with the Grizzlies. Had a lot of money this year, had a little bit of money next year, would have been the best of both worlds. The Grizzlies can go over the cap to re-sign Jonas Valanciunas. They do have some bird rights. So the money thing shouldn't be an issue. Don't worry, they don't have to use a mid-level exception, nothing like that. They can sign into whatever they want because they have his bird rights. They can go over the cap and go over the tax or whatever they want. It is a tool that the teams have. If you have a bird rights of a player, they can go up and over the cap to re-sign their own player. So that won't be an issue as far as how much money, or if you look at some type of cap or whatever, and it says they don't have any money to spend. That's not the case for Jonas Valanciunas. It doesn't apply here. So that's the nuts and bolts of Jonas Valanciunas. Should have opted in. Should have signed an extension with Memphis. He didn't. And so we'll see what happens next. Again, they won't be able to work on a new deal until free agency starts in July. I just want to remind you guys, today's show is also brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that. get rewarded. Coming up next, we will talk about Taylor Jenkins' press conference, what I thought about him, what I thought about what he said, and we'll get all the reactions to that coming up after the break. Make sure you also go get the Locked On NBA podcast. It's Locked On NBA. It is a national podcast for the Locked On Network, and we're doing our NBA mock draft right now. The first show is already out where I control the Grizzlies and I select the number two spot. That show is already out. Today they have the picks 7 through 11 out. So yesterday's show was 1 through 6. Today's show is 7 through 11 or 7 through 12. Either way, it's great shows, lots of trades. See what I do with the Grizzlies, and I might have a trade in that show today for you guys. Again, I had to try to move Mike Conley. I had to take a selection at number two. So go get the Locked On NBA podcast. It is a national show for our Locked On Network. Enjoy it. It's an NBA mock draft. It's the next like 4 days that we're going through all the picks and all the different Locked On hosts control each of their teams and they make the picks for themselves. Welcome back to the show. Again, big news of the day, Jonas Valanciunas declining his $17.6 million player option and is going to try to work out a long-term deal with the Grizzlies. But the Grizzlies also introduced a new head coach yesterday, Taylor Jenkins from the Milwaukee Bucks, an assistant there. We had a very, very short show a couple of days ago when the news broke about Taylor, just as far as where he's come from, what he's done. So if you missed that, again, go listen to that show. It's very helpful. And that gives you up to speed until now. He spoke a lot. He came out and talked a lot of different people as soon as he came out. Well, Zach Kleiman spoke first as just kind of introductory, as you would say. And again, this full audio is also on the Locked On Grizzlies page as well. From yesterday, it's already up, the full press conference audio. If you want to hear exact answers and things like that, I'm going to be paraphrasing everything. I'm not going to listen to the audio. That's already out and on the page, lockedongrizzlies.com. So if you want to listen to that, go listen to that as well. Again, dude seems like a genuine family man. I mean, the vibe I got from him, he seemed genuine. I mean, I believed a lot of things he said. I mean, again, it's hard to lose his press conferences. It's hard to like come out and just say bad things. you got to do a lot. I mean, so there's not a lot to learn from the press conference other than just about him as a person. Again, I sat right behind his dad and his brother. Very nice people. His wife was there. He think like 40 people. I mean, I think that Jeff Calkins counted them all. It's a lot of people. I mean, we were there for a while, him just talking about all the people that got him to this point. He was asked about Mike Conley, but the guys, I think it was Zach, spoke about Mike Conley and how much they, you know, like Mike, believe in Mike. They didn't really necessarily say Mike anything about Mike and the future of like Mike being on the team next year, like anything like that. So I thought that was interesting. The other big interesting thing, it seems like Zach Kleiman, Tayshaun Prince, which is also interesting that Prince was up there as well with everybody else. We'll get to that in a minute. But Zach and the front office seem to be willing to give Taylor Jenkins time. It seems like they understand that while they're not going to come out and say that this is a rebuild, they seem to understand that this is a time where they should start the rebuild. You're getting a number two pick next week. You already have Jaren Jackson Jr. You have some other young talent. You have Bruno. Hopefully, maybe he turns into something. Maybe Dylan turns into something. But this is a time where you can go out and start the rebuild. So it seems like from everything they've said that they're going to give him time, that he's going to have – this is a long-term process. And they mentioned that several times. So that's good to hear because you can't continue to change coaches every – other year. You can't continue to change front offices, quite frankly, every the other year and have any type of consistency and build any type of franchise. He did talk about his style, whatever you can glean from that. Again, we don't really know style until you really have a roster, and then I guess you can probably figure out what you're going to do. He mentioned pace and space. Again, like we mentioned on the last podcast, the first one about Taylor Jenkins, he's a guy that really gets an up-tempo offense going, predicates is on a guards that can move very quickly. Again, he mentioned hopping and popping was one of his phrases, which I thought was funny. He mentioned that a couple times. So that was funny. Again, they got asked about the number two pick next week. He's not going to say what they're going to do, obviously. But everybody, the description of the player that he's looking for was a description of John Morant, if I've ever heard one. So If it gives you any more indication of what they're going to do, that was it seems like an on the nose description of Ja Morant for next week's draft. Again, we still don't know about Taylor Jenkins as a head coach, but you know, what I thought was interesting as well is that Tayshaun Prince was heavily involved in the selection of Taylor. He was from Zach. They had Tayshaun really, and he even said it so much as that last year he was more of a player development role, and this year he's in a much more of a very involved scouting talent, whether that's players, whether that was coaching, all these things as far as talent level, evaluating is what Zach said. Evaluating talent is what Tayshaun Prince will be heavily involved in. And so it's good to know that someone like Tayshaun has been around this game for a long time, former player, knows what, you know, knows how to play the game, knows what he's looking for in the basketball players in that type of arena. And it's a good change of pace from someone like Zach, someone like Jason, all those guys who are really more business guys, again, lawyers that are now turned business guys who are excel at running their franchise from the business side of things. But also, you have to put good players in the floor. You have to develop a good roster. You have to have good, talented basketball players. And so hopefully Tayshaun Prince will be heavily involved in that, like Zach mentioned yesterday. They talked a lot about partnering together, a lot about commitment. They use a lot the partner word a lot between Zach and between Taylor. And so it seemed more like a partnership. It seemed more like a group of people who are trying to work together to build a basketball team that is very good. And it seemed genuine. Again, as genuine as you can seem from a press conference, it seemed genuine. I believed him. It seemed like they were there to do the job. They were there to work together. And in past years, it seemed like the opposite. It seems like we're the front office. You're the coach. You work for us. We're going to put the roster together. You do your best to get wins. And so it seemed like a different dynamic to me. That's just how it came across. Again, there's not a whole lot you can still learn from these press comments other than these just ideas of what it seems like. And so that's how it seemed to me. That's how it came across to me. Last thing about Taylor is that he said he'll coach Summer League, which stood out to me because that doesn't really happen a lot. Head coaches don't usually coach Summer League. It's usually like an assistant coach. And so I thought that was interesting that he's going to be out there coaching Summer League. Again, we don't really know if – I don't think Jaren Jackson is going to play, and neither is John Morant's going to play. So we'll be kind of – there. You know, not really a huge point to it. If Jaren and Ja were both playing, I could understand that you want to coach Summer League and you want to, you know, get more time with those two guys before the season starts. But if they're not playing, I don't really see the use in it. Again, so he just wants to start implementing those things. Again, he always talks about being a hard worker, all whole press conference, a hard worker and work ethic. So we'll see. The other thing, the last thing that stood out to me, what he said about player development is that, it is as much on the player to develop themselves as it is on the coach. I mean, he said that they can give them the tools, but it is on the player to go in and put in the work to develop as well. It is on them to spend nights in the gym shooting, working on whatever they need to work on to develop into a good basketball player. So I thought that was interesting as far as just accountability and work ethic from Taylor. So that was interesting to see. Again, we don't know what's going to happen. We won't know how Taylor Jenkins is a good coach until the ball tips off later this year. So hopefully the Grizzlies got it right. I would like to think that the Grizzlies got it right this time. I would like to think that Robert Parr got it right with the front office that he's put together. And hopefully they'll get it right with Ja Morant. And there's a lot of things going on right now. And everything's up in the air. There's a lot of things that we just don't know yet. That will continue throughout the offseason with Mike Conley's future still up in the air. Again, they still have decisions to make on Avery Bradley, which we'll talk about coming up soon. So this is not the end. There are still a lot of decisions that need to be made for this franchise, and this front office is making those decisions quite literally. They are making them for the first time. So we shall see what happens for this team. Today's show is also brought to you by Grip6.com, ultra-lightweight belts with no holes, no flap, and it's on a great Father's Day gift. Just go to Grip6.com, and they have a special offer for you over there at Grip6.com. Just go to Grip6.com/lock. That's Grip6.com/LOCKE. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Joe Melnick, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, will join me as he does every single week. We will talk about Jonas Valanciunas, get his opinions on what they should do with him. We'll get his opinions on Taylor Jenkins. There's a lot to talk about coming up. We'll have that episode tomorrow with you guys again. Joe Molness, GrizzlyBearBlues.com will be with us tomorrow. If you've not already downloaded the new podcast app, Himalaya, please do so. It is super easy to use. It is also free. And as every single podcast is looking for, it is awesome. Just go to the wherever you go to your app store, go download Himalaya. It's a new podcast app. Go in there, subscribe, right to Locked On Grizzlies in there. It's super easy to use. Please do so. If you also have a minute, please go rate and review the show in iTunes. It really helps our rankings. And that's in the Apple iTunes store. It really helps our show. I really appreciate you guys. If you still don't know where to go after all that, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.